Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting, broadcasting live on the Shuly Network every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who've been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
Fuck you up with some truth.
I'm Donnie. How you doing? And that man over there is the Kenny Powers to my Stevie Janowski. He is Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell. What up, Tid?
Yo, yo, and a third yo for you today. How you doing, brother?
Dollar bills, y'all.
Wow, that couldn't have been more Caucasian of you.
Well, I is what I is. It is August 24th, 2023 at 8:03 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are live. There's always some jackhole that says, is this really live? Yes, we're live. And we are going to address a couple things right off the top.
First and foremost,
to everyone joining us right now live on the Shuly Network, hello, welcome, thank you. And we want to let everyone know that this episode will be our last one on the Shuly Network. So thanks to everyone at the Shuly Network. Thanks to all of you who have been watching and supporting us for the last few months. It's been a lot of fun. We've made a lot of great relationships, met a lot of great people. It's been exciting. Had a lot of fun working with the producers here, especially Andy, who's sitting backstage right now. As of next week, the show will be available on Tid Talk, as well as Godfathers of Podcasting. We now have our own channel on YouTube. So we'll be simulcasting on Tid Talk and Godfathers of Podcasting. All you got to do is go subscribe, check us out, and we will be there starting August 31st.
Yeah. You make it sound like we're dying or something like that. No, we're good.
We're
moving over to our own stuff. We're spreading the love further across the internet, spreading the word of everything that we've been doing over here. And it's been fantastic. And, you know, we hope to see all of you over there, as well as there's going to be a lot of new stuff being added to it and a lot more stuff that you can check out there when you check out those channels. So please go over there, subscribe to at TID Talk and at Godfathers of Podcasting on YouTube, please. And thank you very much. Tiff,
little friend.
Tiff. Thank you so much for the $20 right off the gate. Appreciate you. Says, I have nothing clever to add. Just a whole lot of love and appreciation for Tid and Donnie. Thanks, gentlemen. Well, thank you, Tiff. I mean, this is not a breakup, people. This is just we're switching the channel here.
It's not a eulogy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we're just switching the channel. That's all that's going on. Man. Wow. Stacy, thank you very much for the $10. We will miss you here, but we will see you over there. Donnie, you're overdressed.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Last week I got naked. This week we're not here anymore. So,
yeah, way to kill the buzz, Donnie.
Wow. That may have had something to do with it. No, we're super thrilled about the exciting new opportunity to create our very own channel. Obviously, we have our own presence online at godfathersofpodcasting.com. And of course, like Gina says in the intro, you can still find us everywhere that you get your podcasts. Whatever your favorite podcast provider is, we are there and we will continue to be there. But if you want to watch us live at Tid Talk or at Godfathers of Podcasting on YouTube, that's
absolutely
all.
That's it. How was your week in a couple of words?
The week has been good. It's been a lot of fun. I got a new project that I started this week, which you're aware of.
Absolutely.
And people that follow me on Instagram may have had a notion of it because I sort of teased it and posted a photo. Mm-hmm. Working on a little side project with longtime friend of the show, NBA tough guy, Gary Trent. Mm-hmm. More news to come on that in the weeks and months to come. So stay tuned. But it's a lot of fun. Super exciting. Hanging out with Gary, though, is such a fun flex. Like, he's just, he's like a real life cartoon character that's just very rich. You know what I mean?
All right.
He's just always happy. Got so much energy. Can't stop smiling. Never had a bad day. And he's a lot of fun to chill with. So, and I know you got a bunch of stuff going on too, right, brother?
Dude, so much stuff, and we'll get to that when I'm doing all of my stuff at the end of the show, because it's too crazy and stuff. But this past week, I did make my way out to a movie theater, if you can believe that shit.
Bro, I called this guy on, what was it, yesterday? I called you.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk to you about something, and I get the old ignore, which is very strange from Tid. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, he will leave my texts on read all the time. But normally if I call, he'll pick up the phone.
Yeah.
He ignores immediately.
But, and then I texted you right away. I'm in the theater.
He texted me right away. He said, I'm in a theater. And I'm like, well, that's a terrible lie. You don't go to movies.
I know I don't, but I got talked into it, and I went to a movie yesterday, and I went and saw this new
Barbie.
No, because, you know, Pee Wee. That's the only way I'm going to see that Barbie movie. Trust. Okay. So we went and saw that new Meg movie, you know, the Trench or whatever, right? Giant sharks or whatever.
Yeah.
So here's number one, corny as hell. Like, just straight up corny as hell, because they introduce, I don't even give a shit if it's a spoiler alert, they introduce a gigantic fucking octopus that makes its way to the fucking end of the movie as well. Like,
oh, is it like a monster fight, like Godzilla? And
oh yeah, because they live in this trench. They live in this trench below a thermal barrier that gets a hole in it, and they escape. And now they go rampant on this place called Fun Island. It gets really corny. As corny as it is, though, I ain't going in the deep ocean. Nuh-uh. Because it can be as corny as hell. I don't care. Those things exist. Those big ass sharks exist.
Do you have a deep water phobia?
No. Well, I don't know. Is that what it is? I mean, I can go into a, I'll go into a lake. I'll go into a fucking, you know, giant.
You'll go into a wading pool. No problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll fucking dive into the deep end. You know what I mean? And I'll go swimming into a lake, but that deep sea diving. And I have been diving. We used to go diving and stuff like that. So that's not a problem.
Okay.
But this deep water bullshit out in the middle of the ocean. No. Mm-mm. Open water, another movie. No, you don't want to be left out in the ocean. And then, because that's when the big ass shark is going to come and get you. So
I call bullshit on you deep sea diving, because you can't keep your joint lit when you're deep sea diving. So
edibles.
Just pre-edible.
Are you new? Sometimes you just forget to breathe altogether because you're just high.
I was going to breathe, but then I got high.
Oxygen levels were perfectly fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are having a lot of fun, but there has been a bit of somber news that broke just in the last hour. And before we get to our guest, I just want to mention this quickly, because my phone has blown up in the last hour about this. People asking me questions and I don't have any information. What the hell do I know? WWE pro wrestler Bray Wyatt, real name Wyndham Rotunda, was found dead earlier today at age 36. This is obviously a shocker. Young guy, still has his whole life in front of him. You know, we don't have any other information at this time, but we wanted to mention this and just pay respect and homage. Tid, any thoughts on this story?
I mean, none that haven't already been said by everybody. You know, this is a guy who had a tremendous brain for the business, a wonderful talent. He was born into the business. You know, when you have people that are born from rock star families and they just become rock stars because that's what they're meant to do. This is exactly what Bray Wyatt was meant to do. You know, and regardless of what you might have thought of his character or what you thought about his creative, you cannot deny that he was head and shoulders, creativity wise, and trying to think outside of the box, head and shoulders above everybody in that business. So it's crazy. 36 years old really makes you, you know, make you wonder what a lot of these guys go through. I mean, yeah. I don't, but you know what I mean? And man, man, appreciate the time that you have with the ones that you love, people.
I never got to meet Bray Wyatt, but I did get to befriend one of his brothers that was in that picture, Eric Rowan / Redbeard. And he told me tons of stories about Bray and just sounded like an absolute salt of the earth.
Well, listen, if you wrestled anywhere in this, Ontario, upstate New York area back in the day, you also got to know Brody very well.
100%. I mean?
So that was a guy there that I did know, as well as our guest tonight did know, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's the community itself is large as you think it is. It's really small. It's really small, man. If you break it down, man. So, you know, condolences and everything and all of that goes along with it to everybody, his family, everybody that has ever been in the ring with him, everybody that has wrestled with him. And yes, I see it pop up. James Smith, don't think that we have forgotten about the Funkster, but that's a special time a little bit later on in the show that'll include him. So, but yeah, obviously, you know.
We'll talk about the passing of Terry Funk, but obviously at his age, sick for as long as he was, it's not nearly as shocking as this story that just broke within the last hour. So
absolutely.
I think that's why it's taken precedence. It's no disrespect to the late, great Terry Funk, who we all loved so much. But I'm going to switch gears. Tid, tell me something stupid. Amp me up so I don't go into this intro all depressed. Come on.
No, you're already there, brother. You don't need it. You're a professional. You've been hanging out with Gary Trent. Right. If that doesn't get you amped up for the entire month, nothing else will. Right.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
Nail it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for the big hello. And this week's guest is a longtime friend of this show. I first met this dude back in 2006, but my partner here has known him so much longer, like 23 years. Time is a bitch. When he first started working in the professional wrestling world, he worked his tail off on the independent circuit, traveling from town to town across North America, building a name and a loyal fan base. He had a couple of one-night stints with the WWE and a couple of short runs with TNA Wrestling that maybe didn't go quite as well as he would have liked. But in 2018, he returned to TNA, which had been rebranded as Impact Wrestling, and he was more popular than ever. His mullet-rocking redneck character was a fan favorite and felt like a throwback to a time when visual presentation and over-the-top personalities were the single most important tools in a wrestler's toolbox. In 2020, he underwent a massive makeover, finally cutting the mullet, taking on a more serious persona, and showing everyone that behind the comedic actor, there was an insanely talented in-ring performer. Today, he's a staple on Impact Wrestling television and the leader of his own faction of goons. Behind the curtain, he works as a producer, helping the men and women put their matches together and acting as a liaison between talent and creative. Outside the ring, he's built an impressive business as a motivational speaker, speaking to school-aged children or corporate executives. He shares his story about how he dared to dream, overcame adversity, stayed positive, and landed exactly where he wanted to be. This man is also a philanthropist. He founded an organization that raises funds for various charities like the Special Olympics, local nursing homes, support for kids with autism, and a summer camp for deaf children. And in addition to all of that, he recently launched his own podcast, Wrestling is Life, Life is Wrestling. You'll be able to see him in action live this Sunday as Impact presents Emergence from the Rebel Entertainment Complex in Toronto. Catch it live on Fight TV. You can also see him every Thursday on Access. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know his favorite food, but I'm going to say wiener. You gotta love this dude and his super chill demeanor. Yes, I know that on TV he seems a bit meaner, but y'all gonna love him if you're a kid or a senior, because he's a sweet, happy man like a social convener. And if you're not a fan, it should be a misdemeanor. Used to be in the trailer park, but now the grass is greener. He got money to take his Def Lep Jack to the dry cleaner. Now put your hands together for our pal, the great Cody Diener.
Oh, wow. That was both the most well-written, rapified, and longest introduction I've ever been given. Did you write that, Christopher, or is that a Donnie production?
That's actually comes from Donnie, or as I like to call him, Dickopedia. Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, well, you hit everything, Donnie, in a very, very
no need to do the interview way. Now.
Yeah, I guess you just there it is.
Good night, dinner.
Yeah, all that stuff, everyone. That's all true. And
90-second promo, hit all the marks, kid.
There it is. Oh man.
Well, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on here, guys.
Oh, it's always fun when we get a chance to chat with you. I know you've been on this show once before. Once, right?
Yes. I think it was once before. It's been a number of years, though.
It's been a couple of years. You've been on this show once before a couple of years ago, and obviously Tid and I have interviewed you countless times over the years on other shows that we hosted together. But so much fun. Every time we get a chance to hang out with you, one of my absolute favorite people I've ever gotten to know in the wrestling business. I don't know what it is, dude, in an industry that is filled with people who always seem to be out for themselves, in an industry filled with people who you always feel are looking at you sideways and you can't really trust what they're saying. I've always seen you as being totally authentic. Now, maybe I'm getting worked.
Well,
but that's what I've seen since 2006 when I first met you.
Well, that's a very nice compliment. I went into the business, I think, like most young guys, and I'm not sure if you were like this as well, Chris, but like I came in super naive. I grew up in a very small town, so I just thought I love wrestling and everybody else loves wrestling and I'm nice and everybody's nice. And then you eventually get this rude awakening real quick where you realize, oh wait, nope, there's snakes in this business of wrestling. Right. And it took me a couple of years to realize that. And then instead of when I saw that, thinking to myself, okay, in order to play in this playground, I'm going to join the snakes and, you know, it's dog eat dog. Anything goes, I'll stab people in the back. I decided, nope, I'm only going to be my true authentic self, and snakes can be snakes, and I don't care how long it takes me to get to where I want to go. I'm going to get there by being me and nobody else and not take any shortcuts. So yes, you're not being worked. I am what I am. I do what I do. And, I try to be my authentic self as much as possible. So I appreciate that compliment very much.
You may not remember this, but what year was this? I went to a show that Tid was on, I want to say 2018. I feel like it was 2018. And I had stepped away from any involvement in the indie wrestling world for several years. And I came to this show and you had already been out there and worked because you're smart. Get on before intermission.
Preferably right before intermission.
Before intermission in the money spot.
Yeah, it's called the Diener spot in Ontario, which I didn't know until one of the young guys told me.
It's funny. Yeah, it's the Diener spot. It used to be my spot. And then it turned into one of these things, like because Donnie was around when I first started, I was the guy who had 5 shirts and 7 different promo picks out there. And then I just kind of let that die down. And then Diener shows up with his own, like, you know, moving truck.
He's got a Walmart
full of stuff.
It's my flea market. It's my Diener flea market, traveling flea market.
And then it turns into the smartest place to set up.
So for anyone who's not a wrestling fan, what we're talking about is on independent wrestling shows, the normal thing that every pro wrestler wants is not to wrestle in the main event, not the ego spot. You want to be in the last match before intermission. So especially if you're a good guy, because then you go straight from the ring right down to the meet and greet, say hello to the people, take some pictures, sell some t-shirts, sell some 8x10s, and you just doubled your night. And you had a lot of fun. So you were wrestling on this show. I came over to say hi. I had my son with me. And my son doesn't give a rat's ass about wrestling. He does not care. Now, he loves playing WWE 2K, like the video game.
Sure, yeah.
And he loves the action figures. Like, he'll play with the action figure. But watching a match, forget it. Like, he's bored. He kept telling me, how hilarious you were, how he was drawn to you. And then when I went over to say hi to you, you were so engaging with him. You were so sweet to him. And he was just so blown away by you because he felt like a lot of the other wrestlers acted like rock stars. Mm-hmm. So you made such an impression on him. And to this day, the only thing he remembers from that event is the guy with the mullet and Tid being a dick, because that's the way to, and well, his exact words were Tid being a potty mouth.
That sounds very accurate.
Yeah, because he's used to Uncle Tid being a potty mouth. But well, you make impressions everywhere you go, dude, especially with young people.
That's what it's all about, man. And it sounds cliche, and you know, yeah, I post pictures all the time on my social media and of, you know, kids smiling and me having fun with the kids and, you know, saying this is what it's all about. But that's also not me working. I really mean that. I remember falling in love with professional wrestling as a 5-year-old kid. And I keep that memory seared in my brain of going to those shows as a kid and like just trying to reach over the rail. And like, if I was able to touch a wrestler's shoulder, then oh my God, it rocked my world that I just got close enough to touch them, let alone actually have them stop, look me in the eye, and recognize that I'm also a living human being. So to even just do that for a kid, even for like literally just acknowledge their existence, I've seen that rock kids' worlds. So if I get a chance, which I love about the merch table, is you know, you get to interact with the fans. They come up, they talk to you. It doesn't cost me anything to talk to a kid for 1 or 2 minutes and just be kind to them. That's very easy to do. It's just something that I always try to do. And I'm very happy to hear that your kid had a positive impression with me. Hopefully I'll see him at a show again soon. And thanks for the question, Stacy.
I'm sure you get this question all the time. Yeah. For anyone listening, not watching, Stacy Allen in the live chat. I love a good mullet. Why did he cut it off?
Yeah. Well, it's, you always have to change and evolve. That's to stay relevant. And being in the wrestling business for 23 years, it's constantly changing. And you can also, I have found that it's one thing to get comfortable, you know, find your character and to get comfortable doing what you're doing. But if you're not careful, comfort can lead to complacency. And often for me in my career, I have found that I've gotten really comfortable and successful at something and then hit a wall. And then I had a decision to make. Do I try to just bust through that wall by continuing to do what I'm doing? Or do I take an honest look at myself and go, am I just complacent here? Or am I afraid of changing? Or what's going on here? Should I make a change? And there's been a number of times in my career where I've evolved and changed. And that was just one time in my career where that look, that character that I'd created of that mullet, it just ran its course it wasn't making me, it wasn't making me the next level of money that I was wanting to make, because this is a business. So I realized, okay, just like any other business, you reach a plateau and realize, okay, what do I need to do to expand this business in some way? And the business that we're in, one of the key things for that is evolving and changing and doing that without losing what you've already built, which is the tough thing.
Well, you mentioned that, and that's a great point, because what you were doing before, you were very babyface, right? Mm-hmm. And it led into what you were doing outside of the wrestling ring and outside of the wrestling business, which is going around and being a public speaker to these schools and being that positive energy and that positive force to these kids in these communities, right? And doing all of that. So everything was just coming up Diener, right? And it was all perfect. And then this obviously there's a talk with, you know, the bosses and yourself, and you're having this internal talk, and you're, how do you go about making that switch? You know what I mean? But still maintain being able to say, hey, listen, now I kind of pull the curtain back a little bit for these kids to, you know, so they know I'm playing a character like in a movie.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
So how difficult was that?
Well, not as difficult as you'd think.
Okay.
And I, because a lot of people ask me when I'm traveling and speaking, they're like, they ask me, do you show up in your tights?
Right.
Do you show up in gimmick? And I'm like, no, like I'm doing a 60-minute keynote in front of sometimes thousands of kids. I'm not cutting a Cody Diener promo for an hour. That'd be freaking exhausting.
Right.
It's I'm being my authentic self. Right. Just what you're talking about, Donnie. I just do that for 60 minutes. Right. So I'm not putting on the character that's on TV. There is a division, and we live in a world now where the fans realize that. We know that. We can appreciate the fact that what we're seeing on television is a wrestling character, and they're the person I'm seeing in real life is different. So it wasn't that difficult. I was already telling kids when I would go, I would usually start the speech by showing a picture of me as a wrestler, right? And they wouldn't even recognize the guy on the screen. If I showed them the Cody Diener that was in the ring, they were like, they would often kids would be like, who is that? Who are you about to tell us a story about? I'm like, that's me. And they're like, what? Like, they don't even, because I'm up there smiling and just having my kind eyes. And then they see this picture of this crazy dude acting wild. So there was already a disconnect. So then they realize, oh, wait a minute, you're this guy. And I'm like, yeah, and this is my real name, you know, and this is what this is the other things I do other than be a wrestler that I've had to do to make myself be a successful person in my real life. And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking to them about. I'm not in character anyways. So it wasn't that difficult. Other than when you're talking to real young kids. And then the more difficult thing is not before the speech, it's after the speech, where I talk to them for an hour and they fall in love with me. And then I meet them later and they're like, you just see their face like, what? Like, I watched you on TV. It's like, oh, right. You saw me murder my best friend on television? Oh, yeah. So now you know that, you know.
I'm not going to lie. That was a weird storyline.
So it's like,
oh, look at this. Look at the many faces of Diener.
Yeah, man. I mean, so that's what I'm talking about. If you see this, it's all about evolving and changing and to stay relevant and to keep your business going. And it was also the other thing that made it an easier decision for me, Tid, was it happened at a really weird time in wrestling and in the world. It was in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
And I wasn't doing any speeches anyways. In person, I had to move it all to remote. So I was just ahead on a screen like we are right now here live. Like I was just talking to kids virtually. So I wasn't doing indies and working the merch table. So all those things that I was kind of apprehensive about making that big switch, I didn't have to worry about right away because none of those things were happening. It was my main source of income was wrestling on television for Impact and me realizing, nope, this is an opportunity that is a once in a lifetime. And the more I think about it, the more excited I am about it. And I realized then I was complacent where I was before, and it's time for a change.
Nice. Just to rewind for a quick sec, you talk about how you came to the realization that the image that you had created and been very successful with, let's face it, you don't get the opportunity in TNA, in Impact, without the character that you created.
Yes.
Right? There it is right there. I love that picture. But that image, that persona paved the way for you to earn a living, right? And not just do this for fun on the weekends. Did you, when you say you felt like you reached that plateau, did you have conversations with management, with creative, with the office that said to you, Cody, we love you, you're great, but with this character in a comedy role, you can't go any further, pal?
No, I didn't have to have those conversations, honestly. I mean, I had them with my friends, but
okay,
you don't have to have a conversation with creative when you just look at your creative and see what you're doing, right? Fair enough. And going, okay, I'm not the guy that's being given the 20-minute pay-per-view matches. I'm the guy that's being given the just good 6-minute TV match. And that's consistently what I'm getting each time. So it's not rocket science to realize what's going on, right? And then yes, because Impact, the production team and the creative is so open and approachable. I did have not like long sit down conversations with creative, but it was just enough conversation with the creative to realize, okay, this is how they see me. They see me in this certain role, and that's fine. That's what I'm doing, and I'm good at. I'm good at it. They know I'm good at it. They're going to continue to give me that spot. It's a great spot to have. And I probably could have done that spot for a really long time. But the truth is, and it's been said many times, funny don't make money. That is the truth. I mean, there is a plateau when you're doing that. And some guys say, hey, being the funny guy is the best spot to have. You'll always have a spot. It's like, yeah, I'll always have a spot, but you're never going to make that next level of money when you only have that to offer. And I knew, and a lot of my fans that saw me on Ontario Indies or in that picture that you saw before when I used to wrestle under a different name as Cody Steele, I could have 20, 30 minute main event matches. I've had hundreds, thousands of them. I knew I had more to offer, and I knew that that was my chance to do that, and I didn't want to pass up that chance.
At what point did you take on the dual role backstage and become a producer?
Oh, that was a couple years ago. It was, again, I saw a need. There was just an opportunity where we were down a producer or two, and I saw this. It's something that I had always thought about and was like, I want to transition to this after my career was done. Yeah. But the way Impact operates is they have a couple wrestlers that are also producing, like a Chris Sabin and Rhino and some other very talented guys, where I'm like, wait a minute, I saw this opportunity and realized, why am I waiting until my in-ring career is over? I can do this right now. And when I go and do my seminars before shows, I always talk to young kids about, hey, man, make yourself more valuable. And there's a lot of different ways of doing that to make yourself valuable. And I realized, well, this is one way I can do it, because I know I have something to offer. And I know that they see me in that light. So I just approached Scott D'Amore and said, I'm willing to offer these services to you if you're interested. And he said, good timing, kid. I was going to come and ask you that very question today. You start today. Okay. And
then we were what a genius. He wants to make it like it was his idea.
That's right. So it's, I've been doing it for a couple years now, and I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy it to the level that I do enjoy it right now, because my hope was that I'd be able to live vicariously through the people I'm helping produce. That's the ideal situation, but I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, because I'm still healthy. I'm still in the ring myself. I don't know if I'm going to be able to live vicariously through the people that I'm producing. And the first match that really hit for me was Frankie Kazarian against Mike Bailey on pay-per-view, and I was on headset for that, and I'm screaming into the headset, and like in a good way, like, yeah, and like, tell them, like, ref, tell them they're awesome, tell them this is the best, tell them to keep selling, tell them to go to the ropes, this is, and I'm like, I'm in the ring with the guys. And it was after that match where everybody goes, okay, I love this, I like this, this is something I could absolutely transition to and be totally fine with transition to this, once I can't take any more body slams.
Non-wrestling fans seem to struggle with the concept of what a producer does. And I guess in a nutshell, as I mentioned in the opening, you're really there to help the talent figure out what the office, what creative wants from them, and then figure out the ins and outs of their match.
Yeah.
Wrestling fans, I've seen online, shit talk people that they know are in producer roles, because I'll see comments like, well, how can that guy produce them? They're high flyers and he was shit, right? You, as a like, with your mindset towards the business, from conversations you and I have had over the years, I know you've got a bit of a, almost like an old school mentality when it comes to in-ring work, right? Less is more. Don't be stupid. Pick your spots, right? In this generation of wrestling, of wrestlers who want to throw everything at the wall, as a producer, is it challenging for you?
No, not at all. It's I'm not it's my way or the highway type of person, ever, you know. And when it's my own match that I'm putting together, or it's helping other people, it's a collaborative effort.
Right.
And I'm not so naive that I don't realize it's 2023. I think that's a huge misconception that people have with the quote unquote old school mentality. I'll do shows. I'll do a fair show, for example, right? And there's 200 children, and guys go out there and they do a dive to the outside, and they do a moonsault, and they kick out, and they do a Canadian destroyer, and they do all the stuff. I'm like, that's when I get on those guys and say, stop it. None of that was necessary. You should have done this, this, and this, and this. I'm not going to say the same thing to the X Division wrestlers that I'm producing in an Ultimate X match in Slammiversary.
Yeah.
Because it does call for those things on a pay-per-view of the Ultimate X match on Slammiversary. You have to know your audience. You have to know when to do thing, what you're going to do, why you're doing what you're doing. And that's context. It means everything in that situation. So I am old school in the less is more and all of those things, but I'm also, again, smart enough to realize this is 2023. There's different pacing to things. There's different cadence to things. And and there's a time and place for everything. You just have to know your audience. And if you know your audience, then half the battle is already done.
And you're conscious enough to understand that, like, you're doing this at a level where you're not going to be able to be like, oh, don't do that move. Don't do that move or anything like that. It's more a matter of like, I want you to do what you do. How about we just kind of tweak it a little bit here and there, right? And I think that that's one of the things that Impact, especially that I hear from, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, that I know and that in that locker room and stuff, that they have, is there's a whole lot of everybody's seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but everybody seems like they've got an open mind. They're working at this very, very well together for the most part, right?
I just had this conversation today with a friend of mine, and we were both talking about and putting over the Impact Wrestling locker room, and you hear it a lot, like, oh, it's a family, and a lot of wrestlers say that about their wrestling company, kind of as lip service to just babyface their company. But right. if you ask any Impact wrestler about the Impact Wrestling roster, they will use that word, family. And it's not just a lip service cliche thing that they're saying because it's going to make them look good. They mean it. And I say the same thing. Every single person on the Impact roster wants everybody else to succeed. There's no bitter, like, that should be my spot kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's really like, if somebody succeeds, all that does is motivate other people to step up their game and succeed as well, rather than let's tear that person down so I can move up the ladder. It's nope. I'm just going to up my game to go up the ladder because that person is killing it right now and they're motivating me to step up my game. So it's a very, very positive atmosphere, which, as you know, Chris, is so important in wrestling, because if you don't have that positive atmosphere, and this is true for the people that are listening to this, that, you know, I'm sure, yeah, I know you have a lot of listeners that aren't wrestling fans. You know, when you go into work, if you are in a negative atmosphere at work and you dread going, you're not going to be productive. You're not going to be positive. You're not going to achieve the things that you're meant to achieve in your business. So Impact has created an extremely positive environment so that everybody can succeed and reach their goals. It's a freaking awesome place to work. I couldn't be happier.
That's a wrestling locker room that's not toxic? Fuck off, Diener.
Wow, right? There's been so many guys that have gone to AEW and done WWE, or people that are like sniffing around and like, you know, they're a hot free agent, and then they come in and do a match with Impact. And like, I want to be here. And like, there's not the same amount of money might not be there, but they realize, man, millions of dollars isn't going to make me happy. If I don't want to go to work every day, then I don't care. I want to go to work every day. And there's something different about this locker room. Every single person that comes in as a free agent, that's just kind of doing a couple shows and a couple loops on a taping, they all say the same thing. Like, I want to be here. There's no other locker room like this.
It's got to be an indication of where we are in society as a human species, though, too, right? Because you've been around the business long enough. You've seen the transition of the wrestling business, so to speak, because, you know, you know what those old school guys are. Hi, how you doing? You know what I mean? And how those locker rooms were, and even before I came around in the business, what those locker rooms were and how they've evolved into what they are now. And I think it's because, you know, the type of human that is being let into the wrestling business is a better class of human all around, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they're different. It's a different animal. Like the people that are in the business, like you just watch a lot of times back in the day, I think a lot of the guys that got in the business were just giant men. That either they were just giant humans, so they're like, okay, you should be a wrestler, or they were like an ex-football player, or they failed in college, and then it's gotten, I'm going to get into this business to make money. And I think also the way the business operated at the time bred that type of mentality, you know, with the territorial system. It's like, if you're going into a territory and you got to make your money when you can make it, because you know you're only going to be able to last there for 6 months, and then you're going to be moving on. You're forced to be selfish, right? Where now it's no, I can sign a contract with a wrestling company and I have guaranteed money, and I don't have to stab that guy in the back to kind of keep my spot, so to speak.
Right.
I can be clearly told what my role is, and I can do my role well. And if I keep doing that role well, I'll be given more and more responsibility, and I keep moving up. That's always been my hope of way wrestling could be and should be. And that's how I've looked at it in my career, is just, yep, give me that responsibility. I'll do it and I'll show you. And incrementally, little by little and more, I've been given more responsibility, and I just make sure I knock it out of the park every time. And
piece of shit.
And we're,
Shit. And,
oh, I love it. But it's I've been asked, you know, from younger guys, like, what's your advice and how did you make that happen? It's like, dude,
right.
And you know this, Chris, because we're both dinosaurs. We've been doing this for over two decades. Like, you just have to outlast the other guys.
Yeah.
Right? If I
grind.
You just gotta outlast. Like, it was 10 years before I got my first contract with TNA. Mm-hmm. And then after I got fired, it was 10 years again before I got my next one. Like, there's almost two decades between my two contracts. Like, there's 8, 9, 10 years between each one. Yeah. And a lot of guys would have been like, well, I guess that was done, right?
That was it.
Yeah, right. And you have to be willing to take that first disappointment and second disappointment and third disappointment and really just keep eating that shit sandwich and go, no, I like the taste of this shit sandwich. Give me another one. I'll make a platter of them, and then I'll make a salad out of them.
Shit.
Yeah. And then we'll spice this up a bit, you know.
I remember when
salt and pepper, like, that's what you have to be able to do, right?
Right. When you had your first run with the company in TNA. I remember Tid and I interviewed you on our old show when we were talking about it, and your story at the time was you were like aligned with ODB. She's a big, tough woman, and you're in love with her because you're a couple of trailer trash, you know, whatever. And I remember talking to you about the intricacies of the character you were doing on TV. Like, you're just a redneck that doesn't even know how to fight. You're not a wrestler. You're just a guy that showed up, didn't even know how to make a fist.
Yes.
Right? And did all these little nuances on purpose. And to think you've come from that guy to now one of the top heels in the company. It's crazy to think that that's all the same guy, you know, 10 years in between or not. Like, that's a bizarre evolution, you know, and it's a story that's not common with a lot of guys within the same company.
I just want to put over a good friend of mine, and Eric Young, someone you both know, you know, a local indie guy. He always took pride in being able to do anything he was given
and in any spot he was given on the card, no matter what his role was, he was going to knock it out of the park. And I always looked up to him for that. And while some guys were like, would hum and haw and get bitter about being the comedy guy, right, EY never did that. He's like, oh, you want me to do comedy? I'll do it, and I'll be the best at it. And I'll show you how good I... And he was. And oh, you want me to be a crazy psychomaniac? I'll do that, and I'll be the best at it. Oh, you want me to be the super uber babyface, and you want to give me the belt and run with it? I can do that.
Oh, you want me to have Cody Deaner kill me on television? I can do that.
I can do that. Yeah,
like, here's how I knew the whole thing was a work, though. It had to be a work. And even before, like, he was going and everybody, I was like, no, it's a work. They're like, why? I was like, nobody bothered to, like, fucking arrest this convict, send him to court. Like, he's running around. Like,
oh, man. It was, so murder aside,
yes,
I just, you know, he's someone that I definitely looked up to and saw that you can make money in this business. Like, going back to what I said earlier, if you just make yourself valuable. And for me, I realized I'm never going to be a 6'3" jacked monster. I can't do moonsaults like Rey Mysterio and be like a high flyer. I have to offer something else and make myself valuable in a different way. And if that is making myself look, you cut my hair into a mullet, handle my mustache, look different than every single person on the show and go completely out into left field to make myself valuable, I'll do that. If it's nope, I can show you that I can go in between the ropes and be a psycho maniac and lead an entire faction of guys and completely change and shock everybody. If that's what you want me to do, I can do that. You want me to produce matches? I can do that. Like, whatever it is, I can do that. A lot of it isn't because I'm more talented than the next guy. It's I've been doing this for 23 years, and I'm smart enough to shut my mouth and listen, and I've learned from people and soaked in all the knowledge of hanging out with Jake the Snakes and Ricky the Dragon Steamboats and being on shows with these guys, and every single nugget that they drop, I pick it up and go, oh, I'll take that one. Oh, I'll take that one. Hanging out with Arn Anderson, listen to Arn Anderson. Oh, there's five nuggets that just got dropped. I'm taking those and putting that in my toolbox and pull them out when I need them. I've just made sure that I've done that throughout my career.
It's amazing advice, though, in general, like not just in the wrestling world or the entertainment world, but it's advice that every person should take with them. Make yourself indispensable. Make yourself hard to replace. You know, if you're working a menial job, find a way to make that job more impactful. Find a way to make yourself more important. Find a way so that you can elevate and maybe be in a role that's less menial and you can make an even bigger impact. I love that attitude, you know, and it's almost the inverse of the advice I got from Strombolopoulos back when Tid and I first started doing radio together back in the late 90s. And he said to me, hey, baby, the job never loves you back. Fuck it. You know, he's like, we're all replaceable. Fuck that shit. And while he's not wrong, I love the mindset of make yourself as hard to replace as possible. You know, ultimately everyone's replaceable, but make yourself a threat. Make yourself more apparent to everyone around you that, hey, I got a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm. And we all are replaceable. Like, Stone Cold Steve Austin broke his neck and left and was the hottest thing to ever hit wrestling. Wrestling continued after Stone Cold Steve Austin stopped wrestling. Like, 100%. He got replaced. John Cena has been replaced. Like, everybody is replaceable. You know, we're all just a cog in the wheel. But if I'm like, wait,
Ed broke his neck in the ring, Cody Deaner picked up all his bookings.
Yes, exactly. Now he only has one t-shirt and 8x10. I'll have seven of each.
Right? Well, I still have seven. They're just in a box.
No one wants them.
But like, everyone's just a cog in the wheel. But if I can make sure that I'm not just one cog, I'm not just one spoke, like I can be multiple spokes in that wheel. So if one of those spokes falls off, well, I'm still four other spokes in the wheel. I got more to offer here. Right. So I talk about this when I do my speaking, like I try to tell young people to focus on the positive rather than the negative. I try to live that in my life. It's not just something I say to kids. It's not just right. something I'd say. I live it. Focus on the positive rather than the negative, and that'll help you keep moving.
So what's next then? And like, what do you want to try next? Not like, you know, have you like, okay, I'm going to do this and it's mapped out like that, but there's obviously like
skydiving. You know,
I've tried this and I've accomplished it. I've tried that and I've accomplished it inside of not necessarily in this profession. You know what I mean? Because you do the public speaking, you are getting into podcasting now. You have your own podcast out there as well, right? Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What is like, oh, you're like, okay, I'm marking these things off of my bucket list because, you know, you're not getting younger in the business. You're getting older in the business, right? What's the next thing that Cody Diener wants to try?
I'm doing it right now with my podcast. Yeah. Wrestling is life is wrestling. It's something that I've thought about for years. And as you guys know, you guys are the godfathers of podcasting. Since you guys have done it, everybody and their brother and sister and cousin has a podcast. And it's like, it's not just a pool anymore. It's a freaking ocean. Yeah. And I was, again, going back to focus on the positive rather than negative. I was focusing whenever I thought about podcasts, I'm like, ah, man, nobody needs another podcast. Like, everybody's got one, you know. It's harder to make money now. All the guys that got into it 5 years ago were making bank, and now they're not. Sure. It's harder to all that stuff, right? And I just kept telling myself all the reasons why I shouldn't do it,
right?
But it just wouldn't leave my head because I love podcasts. I love the medium. I'm constantly listening to them because I'm on the road and I'm always listening and taking information through this medium. And always thinking, I can do this. I think I have a good idea and I want to try this. And then find like everything I've done in my life, whether it's wrestling or when I decided I want to try speaking and I just do it. Like I'm just going to try it and then go from there. I just decided, you know what? I got to stop just talking about it and thinking about it. I'm just going to do it. And yeah. I reached out to about four or five friends. Hey, if I did a podcast, would you let me interview you and talk to me? They're like, hell yeah. I'm like, okay. And then I put that out there and go, oh, crap, now I got to do this. And I just kind of, boop, 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 I just started doing it. And then I just did it. So I'm doing it. I have no idea really what I'm doing. I'm learning as I go. Like any business I've started, whether it's wrestling or speaking and now podcasting, any business I've done, working a merch table and figuring out how to set up your merch the right way and do all those tricks, I'm learning as I go. And I'm very much enjoying the process right now.
That was the same kind of reason that I, you know, started doing my TID talks over on my channel was like, you know, everybody, we get to talking in the locker rooms and you talk about stuff outside of wrestling. You're like, holy shit, your life is fascinating. And there's so many people out there that have fascinating stories just about their lives. And I would always get from people, you know, you should write a book. You should write a book. You and I both know, all three of us know, who knows me, there's no friggin' way I'm writing a book because I don't got the patience or the penmanship probably, you know what I mean? Or to sit down with somebody. So I was like, but these stories, they do deserve to be out there. So doing this podcast, you know, doing my TID Talk podcast every Sunday at 3 o'clock over at TID Talk on YouTube. It was basically a way for me to, you know, log all of these stories in a video, a book, so to speak, not necessarily put together, but a book, so to speak, that you can go back and watch anytime. And this is, you know, I started right from birth and I'm working my way up and we're going to take a journey and, you know, check out the life and all the crazy stories. So I get that. Right. And that's really, it's the most anxiety I've ever felt right before I start to do these every single Sunday, you know what I mean? But it's the most relief as soon as you start talking, you know, as well as I do, right? It's just, it's okay. We're in this. Let's submerge ourselves.
Therapy on top of everything.
So there's two things that stand out to me about what you just said, Tid, is one, that anxiety and feeling you get, that's exactly the same way you felt your first wrestling match. 100. And all matches that you had, right? That butterflies in your, and it's very hard to ever find anything else in your life that replaces that feeling. But if you have found it, then you hang on tight to that, right? And I felt that the first time I ever did motivational speaking and got in front of 100 kids and had to speak to them for an hour, I had that same thing. I'm like, oh man, I found something. I found something I love. So that's one thing that really stood out to me. And I get the same way when I'm doing my podcasting and doing that. And also, I know I'm, you're like me with this too, Tid. Like, we are in the business of creating something out of nothing.
Right.
Right? Like, there's a ring. Mm-hmm. Go and create something. And there's nothing there. And we just go when we create something. I go out. I have a business where I go into schools. They hand me a microphone. And I get paid very well to say words out of my mouth. I'm creating something out of nothing. I don't have a speaker system and a boom and all this, like all these things that I have to create in this set and do this. Nope. Give me a microphone. I'm going to create something out of nothing. I'm going to make these people feel something out of nothing. There's nothing here, but I'm going to create something right now that's going to make people feel something and put something out in the world that's exciting and positive. And I'm excited about doing that in various mediums. And now podcasting is a new extension of that for me, where it's nothing until I make it something and I'm creating something. And I very much love that process.
That's awesome. I think what's going to happen with Tid's Tid Talk channel is eventually some Hollywood producer is going to come along and go, Jesus Christ, this guy's a star. We're going to turn this shit into a movie. That's Hell what's yeah. going to happen. But yep. That takes me to another train of thought. Diener, did you ever watch that show that was on like a million years ago, Entourage?
No, I didn't. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. I have four children and all the businesses I'm talking about. So, well, I don't have time to watch.
Yeah, you don't have time.
I don't watch anything.
The producer watches the show.
Attaboy, there you go. Andy. I just finished rewatching it, the whole series from start to finish for like the 20th time. And there was something that happened in the show that reminded me of you, because going back, I don't even know how long ago, 12, 14 years ago, something like that, you wrote an article for us on our old website where you talked about identifying people that have the it factor.
I remember
long that. Before yes. anyone else sees it. Mm. And you know what, dude? That's what being a Hollywood producer, Hollywood agent's all about, finding those diamonds in the rough that have the it factor. When you look around, does that hit you all the time when you see people, whether it's in the wrestling business or outside, right? And you go, that person has it, and they're just not getting the rocket attached to them, but they should be, you know, the biggest thing since sliced bread. Cause I see it. I have the vision, but for whatever reason, they're not getting there.
To take it even another stance on that too, that I'm learning and seeing is, I really started to see this in the speaking world, where I would go and I would watch someone speak, and through my lens, I'd be like, this guy isn't very good. Like, why is this guy getting paid all this money to come and speak to this corporate office or to these young kids? Or like, what is it about this person? Because I'm not seeing this it factor.
Right.
But after like taking that away and going, wait a minute, they don't have the it factor, because not everybody does, right? Like when I wrote that article, I still remember who I said that was in it, and I was right. I said Eric Young is going to be huge. I said Bobby Roode is going to be huge and successful, and James Storm is going to be huge and successful. This was before all three guys became world heavyweight champions, and they all became world heavyweight champions, and I was right. But not everybody has the it factor that those guys have. But I think what's even more important than recognizing the it factor of people is recognizing the value that that person has, regardless of the it factor or not. Like, we all have something to offer. So when I'm putting on my producer hat and I'm producing someone who doesn't have quote unquote it, it's okay. You might not have it, like that speaker who I think that guy doesn't have it, but he's got something that people like, and there's something about him that makes him get offered these deals. It's how he delivers that message in that certain way. That's what makes his business successful. So then as a producer, it's like, okay, what makes this person stand out? What is their thing that it's special to them that they have to offer? How are we going to highlight that? because everybody in wrestling, if they're at the level that I'm producing at on television, they all have something to offer. There's a reason they're there. It's not by accident. It's about highlighting those positive things and making sure that those things stand out.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because it is fresh news, your thoughts. I know you posted about it yesterday, but your thoughts on the passing of a true legend in the professional wrestling industry, the late Terry Funk.
Yeah, man. I was just saying this the other day to somebody. Actually, it was on my podcast with Joe Hendry. I had a recent episode with Joe Hendry, and he was talking about how he's really studying tapes right now because he's wanting to get to that next level, and he knows that he's elevating his game, so he's spending a lot of time studying the in-ring aspect, because he's got everything else down. He's a guy that's got the hit factor, man, and he's a musician. He's got all these talents, but it's like he's wanting to really up his game in the between the ropes. And I said to him, hey, man, make sure that when you're studying and deciding who you're going to study guys that are in your lane of what you're able to do.
So athletically, I told him, you mean?
Yes, that's one thing, right? Like, I'm not going to study Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam because I can't do what they do, right? Mm-hmm. So I started to really focus on guys that are like, I think I can do what they do with my own spin on it. And the three guys that I gave him that I told him are my go-to guys that I study are Jake the Snake Roberts, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Terry Funk. Those are the guys that I always come back to, and I'll go on other study tangents. Well, I'll study somebody else, but for whatever reason, those three guys are the three guys that I always go back to, and Terry Funk being one of them. There's never been another Terry Funk. There never will be another Terry Funk. He was 100% a one of one. There's only one Terry Funk. There'll never be another one. He's a different breed. They don't make him like Terry Funk anymore.
Well said. Well said. I know we asked you briefly right before we went on the air, but the shocking news that we started the show with, Wyndham Rotunda, otherwise known in the wrestling world as Bray Wyatt, passed away earlier today. The news came from his father, who's a WWE Hall of Famer. Mike Rotunda contacted the WWE and let them know. I know you found out just minutes before you joined us tonight. What's your visceral immediate reaction to that news?
I think it's like anybody, right? It's so tragic, and like what happened and all these things, but I didn't know Bray. I didn't work with Bray Wyatt. So I can't speak from a personal level in terms of, you know, my thoughts on a personal level, other than to say this business is a brotherhood, and once you're in that brotherhood, you're in it for life, right? And when one of those brothers goes down, whether you were directly connected to that person or not, it hits home. And I think you were saying it earlier before I hopped on here, Chris, you know, you're talking about Brody Lee and all the other people that are connected to Bray Wyatt. I have so many friends that I'm very, very close to that are my brothers for life that did know Bray and were connected to them. So my heart and thoughts immediately went out to those people that, you know, were very close to him and got to ride the roads with him and get to know him and knew his family and, you know, knew the people that loved him, and my heart goes out to them. And I, you know, I believe in prayer, so I'm saying a prayer for his family, his friends, and my most sincere condolences to them. And the fact that we've lost another brother in the business, it's heartbreaking.
The wrestling business it's always been one of these businesses where what we give to the public is all they know. Right. So you don't get to know the person that was Brody Lee. You don't get to know John. You don't get to, you know, you don't get to know, you know, Wyndham Rotunda. You don't get to know the person outside of what they give you in the public eye. Right. And it's those people that did get a chance, those people that sat down with Sunday dinner, those people that woke up in the morning with them, those people that hit the road first thing, those people mm-hmm. that spent those private moments that you and I both know about yes. very well, those are the people that I feel most deepest condolences for. Anytime this happens, because we've all been there in our own circles and they've felt it for us. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said.
Funny memory. You mentioned Brody Lee, who passed away. I guess it was around December 2020. Is that right? That sounds right to me.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And of course, he was affiliated on TV with Bray Wyatt for many years. One of my favorite memories of Brody Lee was when he was still working on the independent scene before he ever got to the WWE. And you were everywhere at the time doing your redneck mullet gimmick. And I remember I came to you and said, because I was like, you know, helping do creative and stuff for a local company. And I said, Diener, I got this idea. I want to put you in a tag team with Brody Lee.
Mm.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I'm up for it. Like, no problem. Contact John. So I contact him. Oh my God. Can I tell you, he was the sweetest guy in the world. He's like, I'd love to do it. When are you thinking? And I give him a date. Oh man, I'm booked. I give him another date. I'm booked on that one too. And then it's like, okay, wait, we got to make this work. And then he's like talking to me, he's brainstorming it going, you know what? I'm going to change my look so I look like a bigger Diener.
Wow. I didn't know this. Yeah.
He was so sweet about it. And then he felt terrible that we didn't get to do it. Mm-hmm.
You know, he was quick on that.
What's
he didn't check with you on that, Diener?
I'm being with you, Diener.
It's fucking heat. No, he did.
Oh,
geez, we got hot.
See, I got to work. I got to wrestle him many times before he transitioned and started wearing the tank top and the jeans and the trucker hat. Yeah, the trucker garb stuff. Yeah, I worked with him before, during, and after. Yeah, after that. And none of that surprises me what you said, Donnie. It also makes me think of what you said, Chris. Like, I got to wrestle, you know, a crappy little indie with my buddy Brody Lee, and then he had to hit the road early the next morning, so he stayed over at my house and we sat in the porch, you know, and had two or three beers and talked about life that night and solidified a friendship that I never, you know, wouldn't have happened if we didn't, you know, literally put each other's lives in each other's hands in the ring. So you grow close very quickly with somebody. And then to sit down with a couple of beers with a brother after, it's like he immediately became a dear friend of mine. And it's those moments that I know that I'm thinking about for the people that were close to Bray. He's got people that shared those moments. Like you said, Chris, I also, that's where my mind goes as well. And I'm just, my hope and prayer is that all those people, even though it's so tragic, I know that they're grateful that they got those moments with him, because that became my focus surrounding the death of Brody, was how grateful I was that I got to sit on that porch and share those beers with that guy and like talk about life. And this is before he was married and had kids, and he was telling me all of his dreams and goals of wanting to be a family man. And then to see all those things that we talked about, sitting on that porch, him accomplish those and be married to a beautiful wife and have his kids, I'm so grateful that I got to experience that.
To Brody, to Funker, to Bray.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. What? For anyone out there who's listening, you know, this is not the normal Godfathers. You guys aren't fucking around and being stupid and cracking jokes. Hey man, suck my dick. It's a different week, okay? It's a different week. Two people that are connected to a world that we love have passed away within the last 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Everything is fucking different in our world, our headspace. Hey, it's a different vibe. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, wacky, wacky. Let's have fun. Like, we're just keeping it real, man. We're being authentic, and that's it. That's all we can do. Diener, you've been awesome with your time. Before we let you go, let me ask you about the podcast. Who's your dream guest?
Oh man, I don't know.
Don't say Scott D'Amore. He'll always deny you. fucking guy.
Oh man, I don't even have a dream guest. Honestly, I don't even know how to answer that. I don't even have somebody that immediately comes to mind.
You gotta dare to dream, Cody. It's the whole speech.
True. Look, there's a couple of people that I've already invited and they've already said yes that I'm not going to say right now. But they're people that aren't just wrestlers, but they're in the wrestling world and in the wrestling business, but they're not necessarily in-ring performers. They have other roles within wrestling that are so vital and important, and they've done it at the highest level of behind the scenes. I've got some people in mind that I have the ability to talk to that I'm going to be bringing on the show, and I'm so stoked. And there are people that haven't done a lot of podcasts and a lot of interviews and things, so I'm super excited about that because I've had real life conversations, and that's the thing. Like we've talked tonight, guys. Like I don't do the hit the laugh track button. Like I'm just me, and we just talk. We talk about real life, and this is the way I talk to people in my normal life. Mm-hmm. So the people that I meet at work and then my colleagues and friends that I made an impact. I talk about real life shit. You're right. And I get to do that in podcast form and bring that to life through the medium of podcasting. And I've done that with these people that I'm talking about, and they're more than willing and happy to come on with me. So I've got some cool guests lined up down the pipe for Wrestling is Life is Wrestling.
Awesome. I can give you 2 cents of advice.
Okay.
Before you spend any money on marketing your podcast, yep. Before you really go, like, obviously you got to get equipment, you got to get that stuff, but before you go real nuts investing financially, get yourself to 50 episodes. Yeah. Not because it's some special magic number that you want to have a bank of shows for your audience or anything like that. 50 episodes without missing your regular cadence. If your cadence is weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, whatever your cadence is, the first time you miss your regular cadence, mark it down as a strike on yourself. Okay. Because life gets in the way. It's going to happen. If you get to 50 episodes and you don't miss, you know that this shit is part of your grind now. It's now an addiction. It's now part of your hustle. It's now part of your mentality. It's part of your calendar. When people ask you to do shit, it's like, I got to do the podcast. Sorry. I can't reschedule, you know, because I saw a stat the other day that said of the millions of podcasts that are on iTunes, it's like only like 7% of them have more than 20 episodes.
Oh, interesting. I'm literally, this is how much I'm taking your advice to heart. This pen is hitting paper right now, and I'm writing down what you just said. Because that's some solid advice, man. I'm putting down hit 50. That's something I've been very conscious of, knowing that our most valuable resource is time. You know, we can't buy any more of it. So I've very much thought of that, going, okay, how am I going to be able to keep this up? And I'm not going to start this if I can't do it right and I can't keep up with it, because I don't want to be a slave to my content. I want to be excited about the content. So this, for sure, all things I've thought about, but that's some solid advice.
The second it starts feeling like a chore, it's probably not what you want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, like, honestly, if you have to start, like, I know a lot of people when they start a podcast, they go, well, I'm just going to like go on a Sunday and I'm going to film 5 episodes, and then next month I'll do, and then the next month comes, I don't have time this month. And then it's like, now they're sitting there with these 5 initial episodes and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
And we said it at the start, like before we even went on air, time is a bitch. Yep. And time will just keep rolling.
It will.
And all of a sudden you'll be like, oh wow, it's been 2 months since I thought about doing an episode, you know, and it happens to the best of us. You know, one thing I love about working with this fucking guy to my side here is I've been able to count on him since 1996, each and every week. And part of it is the fact that he's fucking OCD when it comes to schedule. You know,
we got to get on time. We got to do it this time.
Like, he's fucking OCD with that shit.
But I love the show start, Cody.
Yeah.
Time to fucking show start, Cody.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go.
You know, there's no fucking around. But I love the fact that he is fucking OCD like that. And I never have to question, like, are we going to do an episode this week because of availability? Like, I never have to worry about that. And that is like, obviously it's less of an issue for you because you're doing a one man show.
Yeah.
But then you have to put the pressure on self.
Yes.
So
yeah,
I wish you nothing but the best of luck, man. You're, like I said, you're one of my favorite people I've ever met in the wrestling business, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate that.
Cody, where can people check out all of your stuff?
I'm an old dinosaur and still have a .com. If people want to just go to that, I mean, you go to CodyDiener.com and everything is there because it's a filter for everything. It goes to all my social media that I'm very active on. You can go right to my podcast and then it'll bring you to the podcast page, and then you can find it on, just like you guys, on every single platform. I'm on everything. I was smart enough to realize I got to do video form. So I'm not just going to do the audio. I'm going to do video right off the hop. So it's, you go to CodyDiener.com. That'll send you to my YouTube. It'll send you to my social media, send you to my podcasting. It'll send you to my speaking. If you're interested in my speaking page, which is a separate entity, if you're interested in bringing me into your school, to speak, or your youth group or business, that'll send you to my speaking stuff too. It's just all right there, and you can get to everything through CodyDiener.com.
It's adorable to me to hear you say you're on everything, because I think you were the last guy to get on social media.
I had that conversation with somebody the other day too, and that was a big mistake. It was like, I fought it, man. I fought it. And it was another one of those things, just like the podcast, where I was just looking at it the wrong way. I was looking at it like, this is an invasion of my privacy. Screw off. I'm not getting social media. Screw you. You know, because none of this is your business. And then I'm realizing, wait a minute, I don't have to tell them anything about myself if I don't want to. Right. I'm in control of this. And so back in my first run in 2009, everybody was getting on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not doing that stupid stuff. Dude, I could have had a huge, massive following by now if I would have jumped on it. And I didn't get on it. I waited like over a decade before I got any of it. So stupid me. But again, we live and we learn. And I'm not going to make that mistake again.
It was so annoying when you're the only guy I need to contact and it's an email. Like, what the fuck? Email.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man.
What are you, 70?
Oh, dude. I fought it for so long. And then it's like, all right, you know what? No. Okay. Let's get with the times. Just like wrestling, we talked about earlier, right? It's like,
absolutely. Get with the times, baby. Got to evolve. Cut the mullet.
That's right.
Off you go.
Evolve. Stick with the times. And know your audience. And my audience is on Instagram and Twitter now. And
awesome.
I'm our guest. No TikTok, sorry. Though. I don't have TikTok, so I haven't done that TikTok. Yet. Is it? Okay, good. Thank
you.
Can
you dance?
Yes.
Well, then get TikTok.
My whole ring entrance was dancing for about
exactly
half a decade. So
that's true.
No, I don't know. I've been fighting that. I'm going to keep up that fight till the very end.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest for the last hour and a bit has been completely Cody Steele. He is going to be on TV this Sunday on the big event, Emergence, I believe it's called, right?
Emergence in Toronto.
In Toronto?
It's in Toronto.
Tit, are you going to that show?
I will not be going to the show on Sunday.
Okay.
I have previous engagements that I have to take care of.
His previous engagements involved never driving to Toronto. That's his previous engagement.
I'm actually going into Toronto on Saturday.
Oh, so look at you.
I got to go to the studio.
Diener, we will check you out on Sunday on the show. Best of luck with everything. Best of health. And thanks so much for hanging out with us. Go to CodyDiener.com for more information on this man. And it's always our pleasure, dude. We'll talk to you some other time.
Thank you, guys.
See you, Christopher.
Cody Diener.
Love that guy.
Giver. Ed, final thoughts?
Thank you so much. I just want to say, everybody in there, I saw that there was, Barrister 1401, $2 to chug a beer. I mean, you can pay us $2 and you can chug your beer. That's fantastic. Good for you. I appreciate it. Thank you for so much for the $2. Roy would like to say, I don't know if this channel will ever have an intro king at Donnie's level again. Well, I mean, listen, gone but not forgotten from here. Amen, Roy. Nobody does intros like Donnie D. So, you know what? We love you all. We appreciate everything that this channel and the people that run it have done for us. We just feel that it is time for us to, you know, venture, do our thing, and leave these guys to do their thing. And listen, nothing but love and respect. And we, you know what? You may see a different incantation of something else with us over here on the Shuly Network again in the future. Who knows? We don't know what the universe is going to bring for us, but it is, you know, like I said, you can always check it out at Godfathers of Podcasting and at Tid Talk, where we have a bunch of different stuff going up. You can check me out, all of my stuff at Notorious TID on my socials, but most of my stuff is going to be on YouTube, along with the Marijuanderers, which is over there, along with the Fake Off Show, which is over there, the SNME Network, which has the Wayans Brothers show over there. And as of next week, there is a very strong rumor going around that you can check me out on Sirius XM.
Look at this guy just dropping bombs. What are you going to be doing over there, Tidwell?
Brand new show coming out with myself and my partner in crime on that one, little Brady Wedham. We are going to be talking some sports. We're going to talk some MMA. We're going to talk some wrestling. We're going to talk some boxing. We're going to talk some men's stuff. And, you know, it's going to harken back to those original live audio wrestling days, Donnie. It's going to go all the way
back. I remember that show.
All the way back to where it started from, you know what I mean? And the mayhem that show created and caused an entire universe. So that's what we're going to get after again. So I'm looking forward to that. And you can check it out. We'll be telling the story when it's all ready to go and stuff like that. Follow the socials, and we'll be making that final announcement with where you can check all of that stuff out.
Thanks very much to everyone who checked us out, and thanks to you if you're watching us or listening to us, and it wasn't live if you checked out an archive. Thanks to everyone at the Shuly Network for all their support. Make sure you go subscribe to Tid Talk on YouTube and subscribe to Godfathers of Podcasting on YouTube, because that's where you will find us henceforth. Thank you so much to everyone. That's Tid. I'm Donnie.
I love y'all very much. Peace out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me, I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.